The journey to Jerusalem. The disciples' assignment. The borrowed donkey. The arrival of Jesus. This is Palm Sunday. The crowded streets. The cloaks and branches. The singing children. The shouts of praise. This is Palm Sunday. The people's questions. The prophecies fulfilled. The triumphal entry. Hosanna to the Son of David. Hosanna in the highest heaven. This is Palm Sunday. The way of the donkey. The way of humility. The way of Jesus, the King of Kings. This is Palm Sunday.
This is Palm Sunday. So we are so thrilled to be able to be starting into our time of Passion Week. We are getting into this time right before Easter, and we're so excited to be able to be doing this as a church, to be remembering what Jesus did as he entered Jerusalem. Before we get started today, though, we do have some announcements. Elevate is coming. So, that's right. I'm getting questions from the audience. Elevate is our Nazarene group camp. They don't really camp, they go to dorms at Point Loma, but it is for our middle and high schoolers. So if you are the parent of a middle or high schooler, we do have a meeting for you tonight at 6 p.m. So we will be having that time together where you can ask all of your questions. We'll figure out how everything is working and give all of that information to you. Because it's Palm Sunday, you know that Easter is next Sunday, March 31st. We'll be having new members and be baptizing people. So if you are interested in becoming a member of Home Church, or if you would like to get baptized, you can talk to Pastor Carlos or Jeannie. If you are interested in becoming a member, we are having our membership class after second service today. But because we've got that whole schedule going on next week, we will be doing one service at 10:30 a.m. So 10:30 a.m. will be the beginning of our Easter service next week. Membership class, like I said, is today after second service. Lunch and child care is provided. So please come on down, see who we are, what we've got in the works, and what we've what we're doing for missionally. Easter next week, so please bring some individually wrapped candy for the Easter egg hunt. We'll start filling up those eggs probably this week, but if we have some spares, we'll pop those out for the Easter egg hunt. It's not really a hunt. The eggs are there. It's a gather. But nobody's stocking eggs. Men's breakfast, March 30th, so that's this Saturday at 8 a.m., will be at the Black Bear Diner this month. So if you've been coming to the church for it, don't do that. With Vince out of town, the only thing we could do is hire professional chefs in order to try to make up for it. So 8 a.m., Black Bear Diner on March 30th. And then women's breakfast, April 6th, 8 a.m., here at the church. So please RSVP to Ricky or call the church office so we can plan accordingly. Last time we had such an abundance of women. It was so awesome. But we did have to send some people out for extra groceries. So please RSVP so that we can stock the refrigerator properly on that. And finally, we've got Sidewalk Prophets coming April 19th. They will be here at 7 p.m. They'll be here a little earlier to set up, but the concert's here at 7 p.m., so you can show up then. Tickets are on sale through their website, so if you would like to be a part of that, go to their website and you can purchase tickets. Other than that, we're done with our announcements. So as a reminder, like always, please make sure you silence your phones. And if I could have everybody stand with me as we go into a time, everybody, we are so, so thankful to have such a faithful crew of people who are faithful in giving the tithes and offerings. You can do that in three different ways here. You can do it in person. We have a box at the back and front of the sanctuary. You can do it online through our website, or you can do it through the mail. If I could everybody bow their heads with me. Father, we are so, so thankful that we have this opportunity to gather under your name today, that we can come and remember and rejoice who you are, what you've done, as we come on this anniversary of your trip into Jerusalem. We ask that this would be a moving service, that you would be stirring hearts in a way that would make us your hands and feet in our homes, in our communities, and in the world at large. We ask that you take the tithes and the offerings that we give and that you would multiply them and bless them in ways that we don't even understand or comprehend. We pray all of this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Well, good morning, church. As we come to a close on our series on home life, we've seen this overarching theme of the fact that our homes need to be built on Christ. Because when, not if, but when our trials and tribulations come, if our house is built on Jesus and his law and his love, then when those trials come, we're not swayed by other people's opinions, our own insecurities, because we've built our faith and we've built our house on Jesus. And there's a man in the Bible named Job who was called an upright man. He was blameless. He was called righteous. And yet everything was still taken away from him at some point. And instead of his friends coming alongside him and supporting him and reminding him of his faith, they told him that he did something wrong, that he had sinned. There was something wrong with him. His wife told him to curse God and die. And if he had been swayed by those opinions, then things would have been a lot different. And so for this man, who was doing everything that God had called him to do, he still went through all of that, and a lot of things looked really hopeless.
In those moments, it might seem natural to allow bitterness to overcome you. And you might even have moments where you feel like you need to turn away from God. But that's not what this man did. Instead, he fell to his knees and he worshiped God because he had deep-rooted faith in God. Job 1:21, and he said, "Naked I come from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return there. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord."
Just want you. sorry when I've just gone through the motions. I'm sorry when I just sang another song. Take me back to where we started. I open up my heart to you. And I'm sorry when I've come with my agenda. I'm sorry when I forgot that you're enough. Take me back to where we started. Open up my heart to you. I'm caught up in your presence. I just want to sit here at your feet. I'm caught up in this holy moment. I never want.
Jesus, you don't know me.
people to receive the message this morning, the message that you've prepared. Lord, open our hearts and prepare us to receive the words of truth that come from this guide that you've given us, Father God, to come to know you, to learn about you and your kingdom, and the sacrifices you made that we could have salvation. Lord Jesus, I pray your blessing over this service and over the people here. Be with us this morning, Father God. We worship you. In Jesus' name.
This all goes out to all those who have gone before us, but also to somebody just who the other day, I didn't know who he was, never heard, never seen him, never, don't know his name, until I met him. And I asked him a very important question. I said, do you have Jesus in your heart? And he said, no. I said, would you like to? And he said, yes. And so church, I think it was Friday, there's a new name written down in glory. Can somebody say amen? Amen. And maybe here this morning, maybe Christ is not in your heart. Maybe you've walked away. You're in the right place. Can someone say amen?
Amen.
Let's sing out this song as we worship Jesus. There's a new name.
There is a new name written down in glory, and it's mine. Yes, it's mine. I met the author of my story, and he's mine. Yes, he's mine. There is a new name written down in glory, and it's mine. Yes, it's mine. I met the author of my story, and it's mine. Yes, he's mine.
Yes, he's mine.
I am tells me who I am. I am who I am because the I am.
was the Ayatollah.
Today, so many years ago. We're thankful that our names are written in the book of life. We're thankful too, Lord, for our salvation, for our friendship, for our church. We're thankful for our pastor, and we pray that today his message will stir our hearts so that we would be better servants to the living Christ. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hosanna, hosanna en el cielo, Señor. Bendito es el que viene en el nombre del Señor. Gracias, Padre, por tu presencia aquí. Señor, solo necesitamos tu presencia para que llene nuestro corazón en esta mañana, Señor, con el mensaje de nuestro pastor, Señor. Y sabemos que eso va a llegar también a nuestros corazones para que te alabemos, te glorifiquemos y digamos siempre, bendito es el que viene en el nombre del Señor. Gracias, Padre, en el nombre de Jesús.
Let's say that again. One more time, there's a new name.
There is a new name written down in glory, and it's mine. Yes, it's mine. I'm at the altar of my story, and it's mine. Yes, it's mine.
There is a new inspired, Father, not only because of you, but the conversation I had with one of our speakers, who says she's getting older, and there's a lot of things in her life she wished she could have done differently, but as she recently went to the doctor a year ago, she decided to adhere to the words of the physician, and because of that, she's a lot healthier now today than she was 20 years ago. And so, Father, I pray that this morning there are people here spiritually who've been serving you for many years. But sometimes as humans, we don't listen to the physician. Sometimes as humans, we don't listen to the doctor. And I pray by your grace and mercy, by your grace and mercy, the patience that you have with me, by your grace and mercy, can somebody say amen? By your grace and mercy, Heavenly Father, that you would come down and remind us again what your word says, your principles, that we may be 80, 90 years old spiritually,
even physically, but feel like a 50-year-old, feel like a 20-year-old, spiritually, physically. I pray in your name that you would touch every heart in this place, not only first service, but second service, as those who are now just waking up. Father, that they don't only have their coffee, but Lord, they'd be prepared to worship you. And so we place, God, we pray you place your hand on second service as well. We thank you for what you're doing here. Go before me. May these not be my words, but your words, I pray. Principles I grew up on, principles I believe, not because anybody told me, but because of what your word says. We pray this and we thank you in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. You may be seated, church. Thank you. Amen. Amen. Can we give our worship team a hand this morning? Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you so very much. I am blessed. I'm not going to say who this is. Maybe second service I will, because he's not here for me to say. But I've received an email from a family who said, Pastor, we've been coming to this life series, Home Life, since day one. And he said it's been more than just life-changing. Our home life is different. He said my wife is acting different. I thought the men were going to say amen, but it's okay. It's okay, no worries. He said, my wife said, I'm acting different. Okay, I got some ladies there saying amen on that one. He said, my kids are acting different. Amen. As we come on a close on this 8-week series, man, it's been a long 8 weeks. It doesn't seem long, but it's been long, especially for our life group leaders. Amen. I want to so thank our life group leaders. Amen. Can we give them a hand? Our life group leaders, all those who've been leading a life group for 8 weeks. Again, it doesn't seem like a long time, but when you set that time aside, and every week you're diligent to prepare a lesson, to cook food, to open your home. Not only the life group leaders, can we give a hand to those who've opened their homes? Amen? Thank you. It says a lot, and it's a lot, but God's going to honor you. He's going to bless your labor. Amen. And so I'm so thankful as we are embarking right now on Home Life Part 8. We're going to read our scripture together, Proverbs 24, 3 through 4. If you are visiting with us, we are glad to have you. Can someone say amen? And if you're watching online, we're glad for you to be here. And by the way, just want to give a shout out to those who are watching across the world. We have people who give to our church who are not from here on a regular basis. These are people who are and their heart is here. And they even said, like our guest speaker, what did she say? She said, if she lived in this town, this would be her home church. And so I'm praying that she comes over here. Man, what an amazing woman of God. Proverbs 24, 3 through 4. Let's go ahead and read in chorus together, church. It says, through wisdom a house is built, and by understanding it is established. By knowledge the rooms are filled with all precious and pleasant riches. I encourage you, if you haven't seen if you haven't been here for Home Life, go ahead and you can watch the series on your own time. And then for those who maybe are out of town on a Sunday, I so appreciate their faithfulness as they watch online. Because how many of you know we don't want to forsake the Sabbath, amen? You know, not being in one church is another. You know, not being in church is one thing. When you're not even watching online, that's a whole other thing. Amen? Yeah. And so we want to make sure we're faithful to the house of God, especially when it comes to his Sabbath. For those who are parenting and those who maybe aren't parenting, I remember when Ricky and I, before we even had kids, there was a sermon years ago on child care. And a lot of people our age were tuning it out. But I, by the grace of God, tuned in. I got my notepad out, my pen and my paper. I still got some of those notes today, and I'm writing things down, because these are things that, even though I'm not a mom and dad, I'm not a dad. I could still learn and grow. Amen. So if you're parenting today, if you're not parenting, there's one thing I do know about you, for sure, especially the parents. And that is, you want the very best for your kids. Amen. Man, nothing wrong with that. Matthew 7:11. Speaking of 7-Eleven, man, I love those You know it's like a roll, like a taquito. They got the pepper jack one. That thing is good. Amen. Anyways, Matthew 7:11. If then you being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? We want to give the best to our kids. We have good intentions. But then we get tired. Who knows what I'm talking about? Yeah, you get tired. You get worn out, especially in today's culture. It's difficult to try to do the right thing. We get worn out even with the smallest things. Like I remember when Carlos was a baby. When Carlos was born, he would have the little binky in his mouth. And if he spit it out, it fell on the floor. We not only cleaned it, sanitized it, we boiled it to death before we gave it back to him. Okay, but then the second child came, and when Teo spit it out, here you go, Teo. Third child, we're at grandma's house and the dog's there. We're like, here you go. Okay, all right. We have good intentions. We wanna take care of our kids, but sometimes the standards but we want to give our children the best because we want them to be happy. We want to put them in the best schools. Nothing wrong with that, right? We want to get them the best clothes, the best shoes that we can afford, if we can't afford them. Kids are talking about Jordans. Remember I asked my dad years ago, I said, Dad, can you buy me some Jordans? He's like, how much are Jordans? I said, it's only $100. We're talking back in 1997. He's like, you know what? How about if Michael Jordan wears my shoes, I'll buy his shoes. I ain't going to wear, if you can buy them. But again, there's nothing wrong with wanting our children to be happy. But what if what we give them can actually hurt them with our best intention for them to be happy? We actually sit and live by the altar of happiness. When it comes to our kids, we need to worry less about today's happiness and more about tomorrow's readiness. Amen. Hear me. We need to do more to prepare them to be faithful to God in this very crazy world. So I want to show you three different times and ways good intentions can actually hurt your children. And please understand, I got three kids myself. I'm still growing and learning. Some of you, last week, I so appreciate the encouragement. You said, man, I wish I would have heard this years ago, but my kids are serving the Lord today. How many wish you would serve a gracious God? Amen? Amen. And so, number one, when we give them things they did not work for. We do this in the early years. We'll break down in the grocery store. When your child, and I'm excited for second service because we got a lot more babies in second service. But when the child breaks down, starts crying, throwing a fit, and everyone's watching our parenting. Everyone's looking at us and, wow, that's, you ever feel judged like you're a bad parent? Everyone in the store is looking how your parents, your child's going crazy. And so what you do, you give them the lollipop. You give them the toy. You finally, as a parent, surrender and say, shh. I'm guilty of that. Shh, come on, hey, hold on. We surrender, and then it doesn't help when society reinforces the entitled mindset with everything. This entitled mindset that wasn't 50, 60, 70 years ago. You remember back in the day when you had to work for what you got? Amen. Huh? But even things from like participation awards. And I don't like to be the old guy in the room, but I'm going to be that old guy in the room when it comes to participation awards. Because when you give a kid a trophy for just showing up, it creates a very entitled mindset. When a kid shows up, that's the baseline. That's the expectation to be there. That's why we have parents who need to recognize one of the best things we can give our children is the blessing of earning the blessings. The blessing of earning the blessing. For example, they want to play their video games. I've seen parents say, the kids want to play, they want to do something, and they still haven't listened to mom and dad. They still haven't listened to mom, and the mom lets them do it. You want to play your video games? Go right ahead, but first you need to do your chores. Thought I was going to get one amen from the kids. It's okay. You need to do your chores, and with a good heart, without an attitude, without complaining. Honor your father and your... That's right. You want to buy a car? Awesome. Okay. You're going to have to work for it. Carlos wasn't just given a car. Trust me, this boy working. I'll never forget a dad told me years ago, whose kids are grown, he said his kid wanted his phone, wanted a new phone. His dad said, oh, you want a new phone? Yeah, all my friends got new phones. He said, here you go, you can borrow mine. Kid was like, no, I want my own. He's like, yeah, that's yours, you can borrow mine. But at night, I'm gonna need it back, and if I need it, I'm gonna need it back, especially at nighttime. He says, well, can I just buy my own phone? He goes, you can, but it's my house, and so at night, I'll still take your phone away. He goes, that's not fair. He goes, well, it's my house. The kid's like, well, it's my phone. He goes, my house, my rules. So if you want to buy your own phone, buy your own house, and you can do whatever you want. Amen. But I tell you, if you're in my house, you can buy the phone or you can borrow my phone. He said his kid ended up borrowing his phone for quite some time. But it showed him that parents are supposed to be, parents are supposed to be, we're supposed to be watching over our children, especially at nighttime. Can someone say amen? Amen. And I know some of the kids right now are thinking, this is not fair. Why is Pastor talking about this? Giving our parents ideas? But parents, we need to be reminded that we are the parent, we're not the peer. We're not the peers, amen? And so we're not creating an entitled mindset. We want to create a good worth ethic with a grateful mindset. So the first mistake we usually make is we give them things they did not work for. Number two, this is really common, and this is something I've struggled with all these things, but we can overly praise them. We have to be careful. We love them so much, we want to build their self-worth. So we tell them they're the smartest kid in the whole entire world. We say, you're the best of the best of the best. You're better than everyone. You're the greatest. And studies have shown overpraising can actually hurt our children. So when we praise cheap, it robs our children from confidence. And overpraising can actually create anxiety. And so we say, you're special, you're smart, you got an A. Oh my gosh, you're the smartest, I love you. And so when they don't feel smart and they don't get that A, it actually, they don't feel loved. And they feel like they have to meet some expectation instead of putting their faith in God and having their confidence in God. And if you're writing notes down, write this down. It's better to praise the process than to praise the person. Amen. Amen? So instead of saying, you're the smartest kid because you got an A, we love you, we say, you worked really hard on that paper. Congratulations. You honored God, and because of that, he blessed you. Amen. Good job. Remember, always keeping God in the center of everything, remember? In everything. Number three, and we all do this, we give them freedoms they're not ready for. It's crazy how sometimes we can be overly protective in some ways and naively foolish in other ways. You cannot cross the road by yourself. Don't you dare cross the street by yourself. But then we give them one of these. We put a TV in their room. They're watching television at 12 in the morning, 1 o'clock in the morning. We give them a middle schooler, a device, and say, good luck. Hope you don't get addicted. Hope nobody sex Snapchats you. Hope you don't battle with feelings of ongoing isolation and depression and anxiety as you scroll mindlessly for hours. Who knows what I'm talking about? Scrolling mindlessly. Looking back on last week, Our goal is to get them less dependent on us and dependent on God. So it's less of us and more of God. And as they become more trustworthy and as they become more responsible, then we give them more freedom because they've been growing into it. They've been growing into it. Can someone say amen? Been growing into it. But culture programs us mindlessly and creates this entitlement by giving them things they did not work for. We create insecurity by overpraising, and now we have kids in bondage to sin because we give them freedoms they are not ready for. I hope you're hearing me. So what gifts can we give them to help them become fully devoted followers of Jesus Christ? Fully devoted, not what culture calls a Christian. I don't want my kids to grow up and to be a culture Christian. Just say, oh, I'm not a Buddhist, I'm not a Muslim, and I'm a Christian. No, that's not what I want for my children and my children's children. Deuteronomy 6:4, let's read our scripture right here. It says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your..." You shall teach them diligently to your... "And shall talk to them, and when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up, you shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorstep of your house and on your gates." Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, strength. What are the gifts we can give our children to help them love God? Number one, I wrote down a church, a community worth being a part of. Amen. Let's start with this one first. As parents, we bring in our kids to church, but we don't want it just to be the parents' church. We want it to be the kids' church. Amen? It's not just mom and dad that want to serve God. They want to be a part of what God is doing in their family's life. Deuteronomy 6:4, it says, hear, O Israel. One more time, I could sense the people in the back. Hear, O Israel. No, they still didn't do it, but it's okay. Thank you for stepping in for them. Hear, O, not person, Israel. Not individual, not one guy. No, hear, O community. Yes. Hear, O Israel. In the Old Testament Jewish family, they viewed themselves a little differently than the modern-day family today. The Jews in the Old Testament, when they talked about family, it was like home church, your family. You know, I'm closer to a lot of people here than I am to my own blood family. Amen. Do you know that? And I remember talking to Pastor Steve. He was telling me, man, actually, some of the people in the church you're actually be spending eternity with, some of your blood family, you may not be. It was a good reminder. And we want to bring them along, but they're going this way, we're going this way. We're family. Can someone say amen?
Amen.
But in today's culture, especially here, it's like us four, no more. Us three, you must flee. Us two and your doo-doo, I don't know, something. I'm trying to, you know. I'm not going to go to one, okay? I'm not going to try to rhyme that. People ask us sometimes, what's the one thing you have done for your kids? And again, it's not a finished thing. Our kids today, we don't make our kids serve God. And our kids aren't 18 yet, but they can choose when they turn 18. I should take that back. When they're out of the house. Because if Carlos is 18 years old and he still lives in my house, we're still going to church. And the moment he says, well, Dad, I'm 18 now and I just don't feel like going, well, then you can go buy your own house. Because that's for me and my house, we are serving the Lord. And we are here and we're going to church. Amen? People ask us, What's the answer for spiritual success? And I know Ricky and I would both answer, we help them to create and build and be a part of a Christ-centered family, a community. And that's above everything else. We get them involved. We want to plant their roots. So it's not just mom and I doing ministry, they're doing ministry with us. Amen? And remember what we talked about last week? Who and what you expose your children to is what they will become and believe. Who and what you expose and show your children to is what they'll become and what they will believe. And this is more important than important. Most parents' philosophy is this. They drop their kids off at school and they say, have fun, have a good day. We send them out. But one of the things we can do is to help them find and create a Christ-centered community. A Christ-centered community. And this is important because whatever we did growing up, if we're honest with ourselves, whatever we did growing up, whether good or bad, we normally did it with somebody. Amen? I mean, there's a few times I did some things, some crazy things by myself. But normally, when we do something really good, we did it with somebody. We did something really stupid, we did it with somebody who was probably stupid. I remember growing up and a friend from high school, good friend. I mean, saved, good influence, started hanging out with bad influences, and he became a bad influence. And I remember being at a crossroad in my life, just in my little life, you know, 14 years old, he's older than me, going, man, I got to make some changes here because he's not acting the same anymore. Something's wrong. Something's different. You know, the things he would do. Let me tell you the things he wouldn't do. He wouldn't honor girls with integrity and respect. He stopped doing that. He didn't love the Lord thy God with all his heart, all his mind and soul and strength. He didn't have a kingdom mindset. He lost it. Let me tell you what he did do, though. He started getting in fights. He started going to clubs, Babinga. It was a big club back in the day, Babinga. Who remembers Babinga? Don't. Okay, we got honest hearts here this morning. Amen. Honest hearts, honest people. It's okay, you didn't have to raise your hand. I just saw when I said the name, you like, whoa, I know that place. It was a big club. He wasn't even old enough to go in, and he would sneak in, take some of the kids from church. So that's why as parents, we got to be very careful, very vigilant. We got to keep our eyes open. Can someone say amen? To guide our children. Next thing you know, he's arrested. And it's been a ripple effect. Church kid hanging out with ungodly friends. And this is grounded in the Word of God, Proverbs 13:20. He who walks with wise men will be wise, but the companion of fools will be destroyed. So it says, walk with the wise and you become wise. Associate with dummies and you'll fall. But I've heard people say, I've heard mothers say, I've heard fathers say, well, I can't control my children. I don't know what to do. I got no control over my kids. I'm totally helpless. They go out and they have all, yes, you're right, they go out and they have a lot of freedom. But you have to remember, even though you can't pick your children's friends, you can influence the environment you place them in. Can somebody say amen? Amen? You can always pick who they're going to choose, especially in the early years. I decide who comes to the birthday party. And I decide who my kids' birthday party they go attend. Amen. It's very simple. Very simple. And then when he turns 18 and he's out of the house and he wants to have who knows what, that's up to him and God. But until then, yes, I'm preaching to you. Yes, I am. Where they go and what types of environment they're going to be in, God has given me the authority, and you as a mom, the authority to help make those decisions, to create that environment. So let me remind you, parents, If you want your kids to be spiritually grounded, you might want to write this down. If you're not writing this down, write this down. This is words from above, words from heaven from above right here. Write this down. You want your kid to be spiritually grounded? Right here. This is a revelation God gave me. We have youth group that meets every week on Thursday. Amen. Some of you look disappointed, but it's okay. Write it down. It's okay. Youth group meets every Thursday, and not only with like-minded believers, we have like-minded leaders. Amen. We have leaders that say, you know, we want the kids to have fun, but we care less about fun. We want them to hear the word of God. Amen. That's more important to me. Amen. And we could do fun later. Yeah. Remember going to youth group back in the day, years ago, at another church, and all it was fun. Fun and games, fun, just a good place. A place where your kids were just having fun. But when the storms of life come, fun don't stand. And so I thank God for Aunt Amanda that we not only have fun, but we have the Word of God. Amen. We have people like Isabella and Jane and teaching our preteens. Can someone say amen? Preteens. I want to tell you about a time that was very important for one of our kids' lives. More important, when I share this story, it kind of saddens me that you're not going to understand the severity of the of what was on the line, but Carlos was a very exceptional gymnast. He was good, like good. We have videos of him. You know those two little circles? And they pull, what do they call the rings? He could pull himself up, stay right there, do flips, and it was crazy what Carlos could do. Like it was, I mean, the instructor from, I think it was from like Russia, he's like, even he was like, whoa, and he came, Your son, great, can be the great. I said, really? He said, look, gymnast, medal, you know, I said, man, you know, and you have to understand, I was young, we're like, you know, 20, 24, 25, you know, I'm just, man, he's like, he could be gold medalist. I'm like, he could be a gold medalist. He's like, look, position, proper, he's good. This guy would scare Carlos, okay? He'd scare the kid. This guy, man, he's that stick, you know? And he said, it's time to take him to the next step. I said, that's wonderful. Heck yeah, let's go. The next step, let's do it. He said, well, you guys are doing once a week right now. You're going to have to do 4 days a week. 4 days. Many hours. Dedication. Wonderful, yeah. Sunday, early. Do you think we could do like Monday early? Because I'm even like, I can maybe even ask my boss, like I can. No Monday, Sunday. You think I'm joking? Ask my wife. We have schedule. Travel. Right now, short travel. When bigger, world travel. I'm thinking, man, this sounds wonderful. But we had to make a very hard decision that at the time I honestly thought I was being stupid because people who in my life weren't serving God were telling me, that's crazy. Carlos Scott's a gift. He could be a gold medalist. I would rather have my kid at the end of his life knowing and serving God than being a gold medalist. There's nothing wrong with being a gold medalist and serving God. But at the time, what they wanted from us was something I could not do. I could not put God second. And so we had to make that very difficult decision and said, you know what, you're just going to continue in the sport, but we're not going to, I'd rather have you take that next step in ministry, serving God, than take that next step for the world. Yes. And he might not get the praise and the adoration that he would if he would have been a gold medalist. He is. But in heaven he will. Amen. We want to give our kids an environment where they're hanging out with like-minded believers. Ecclesiastes says two is better than one. When one is down, the other one can pick them up. And vice versa. So it's not, you know, if your kid is all, if you're trying to get your kid to serve God and you're never bringing them to the house of God and you're only coming to church once a month and they're watching your lifestyle. And again, as parents, we're not perfect. Amen? We need God too. But you want your kid, is, you know, and so when you place them in this environment, it's no longer, wait a second, you don't drink? It's, we don't drink. And it might not be 100 kids. It might just be 3-4 kids. 5, 6, 20. Wait, you don't have, what do you mean save yourself for marriage? That's weird. No, we are saving ourselves for marriage. Not just all alone at school, getting attacked. No, you place them in an environment with like-minded believers. It's no longer just your faith or their faith, it's our faith. Amen? Our faith. And so, that's why we want to give them a community worth being a part of. I better hurry up. Number two. Thank you, brother. I appreciate that. Well, we're on point number two. I got 20 more points. No, I'm joking. Number two, a goal worth pursuing. A goal worth pursuing. Somebody say goal. Goal, that's right. Goal worth pursuing. So what is the goal? What's the goal for our children? To love the Lord, the God, with all their heart, mind, soul, and strength. So it's not just a part of their life. It's not a part of their heart. It's not when it's convenient for them. They're not just serving God when they're at youth group or raise their hands when they're at church. It's even when they're with their other groups. Can someone say amen? And it's not by lowering our standards. We can't lower the standards. Back in the Bible days, kids would memorize, when they reached 12 years old, the first 5 books of the Bible: Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. That's a lot, okay? I mean, that was an expectation. You turn 12 years old, you're memorizing Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. And I don't know about you, but I love Genesis. The other books, until Jeannie came along with Leviticus, you know, I'm going to be real. They're not the greatest books, okay? And if you're sitting here all holy, oh, how dare he say that? Well, go ahead and read it and see if you fall asleep. Okay? Wonderful books, but they would do that. And parents today can't even get their kids to make their bed. So let me remind you, if you don't expect much from your kid, you won't get much. And if you think it's acceptable to barely touch the standard, they won't even come close. They won't come close. But if you believe they are capable of more because of God, they put their trust in God, you encourage them to read their Bible, to know the book of the Bible, to be faithful to church, they might not only make their bed, they might be a business leader someday. Huh?
Come on now. Come
on. Let's raise the standard. We're going to read the Bible together as a family. We could raise the standard, amen? I heard parents when I was a kid in the neighborhood. I could picture their faces. 3 boys, parents with Lemon Valley, hanging out riding bikes, and parents are sitting in the living room. They said, "Where are you gonna go?" One of the boys was older than me, and he was gonna go to his girlfriend's house. And the dad said, "Don't get her pregnant." That's a standard. That's a standard. Don't get her pregnant. Well, we could raise the standard. Huh? Instead of don't get her pregnant, how about we keep our eyes on God and have sexual integrity and wait before marriage? Wait for marriage. Amen? We could have standards. We can raise the bar a little. The father could have said, "Hey, you know what? Your body belongs to God, young man. And that girl over there, She belongs to God. Don't disrespect her. Show her honor. Love her. Bring her to church. Wait, I need to go to church too. Hold on. Hold on. Huh? I don't want my kids to fit in. I want my kids to stand out for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Number three, a faith they desire to share. A faith they desire to share. When it comes to God's word, what do we do? Parents, that starts with us. We always pray for our kids. It's a spiritual impartation on our children. We talk about God's truths when we sit at home. What does the scripture say? When we walk along the road, when we lie down, when we get up, when we're going to talk about God. It's going to be the most common thing we talk about in our home, not just on Sunday, but every day. On the way to school, hey, you know what? I'm going to pray for you. Let me pray for you. Let me plead the blood of Christ over you. Hey, I'm proud of you. Keep making those righteous stands. Oh, that kid you were talking about the other day, the one you were talking about, again, our kids need our help, amen? They need our encouragement. While we're hiking, while we're camping, while you're taking your girl to dance class, whatever it is, you can put God in the center of it all. God can be in the center of it all. Because we want our children to have a first-hand faith, not a second-hand faith. Amen? This needs to be in us. Because if there's one thing I know about this generation, they hate fake. They hate fake. They hate hypocrisy. And that's where some parents get in the trap. They feel that they're not worthy because they've made mistakes. So they're like, well, who am I to tell my kids anything? You're everything to tell your kids everything. I made the mistakes. You don't have to do that. And as long as you're living in my house, we're going to serve the Lord. And how dare you try to bring up my past? Shame on you. I saw a kid one time on counseling a parent and a mom, and he's bringing up the mother's past. I said, shame on you. Your mother's trying to teach you and show you the way. You better honor your father and your mother. And don't allow, as parents, our past to dictate how we parent. Well, I did it, and so I guess. No. Maybe you did it for a reason, and you didn't catch AIDS or syphilis or gonorrhea for a reason, for a purpose, so God can show your kids. Can someone say amen? Amen. 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 Hallelujah. That's one thing our generation does notice, though. They notice fake. They notice it. They can sniff it out. Kids are smart. They got a detector. They don't say anything. Your kids won't say anything to you, but they got a detector. They can sniff it out. Who faked? A little joke for the little ones to stay awake right now. Jesus is not a part of our life. Jesus is our life.
Amen.
He is our life. We're not perfect. We made mistakes. But we're moving forward. He's our life. Because of what he's done. God has called each and every one of you by name. Some of you I can't see because the lights is glaring my eyes, but God has called each and every one of you by name. I want to impart this to my children and to my children's children, a spiritual legacy. I want them to know who they are in Christ. When the devil tells them that they are not and they can't, they can be reminded that they are and they can. And I got this picture in my head because I ain't going to lie, it was bothering me for many years. And don't get me wrong, Carlos loves sports. For those who don't know, Carlos and the kids are playing tennis like crazy every day. They love tennis. There's nothing wrong with sports. Nothing wrong with fishing. Nothing wrong with music. There's nothing wrong with these things. But don't allow these things to take you out of God's will or to put that before God. Because the moment you do that, God says, that's an idol, and no idol shall come before me. But I have this picture in my mind of my son, you know, running and getting the baton and me, you know, passing that to him because I love sports too. I used to play basketball. I was in O'Brien, Billinghurst Middle School. I was a baller. I loved it. It was in my blood. I loved it. But there came a point where I had to make a choice. Am I going to serve God or serve sports? I got to serve God. And I had this picture in my head that I'm running. I got this gold, this baton handing. But wait, I don't have that anymore. I got the word of God that I'm passing to my children. I got the word of God that I'm handing over to them. And if I was to pass away tomorrow, if I was to die tomorrow, everything that I've taught my children through my mistakes, through my failures, through Christ, and because of Christ, he can show them that I don't need anything else but God. I don't need this world. I need God. And with the temptation, because the temptation will come, try to drive them away. They will have the armor of God, the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the shield of faith, the belt of truth, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. We want to give this to our family. It's not going to happen by accident. We're going to have to work at this. It's not going to be perfect. But we're going to give God our best, and he's going to honor it. We want to raise the standard. We're going to raise the standard. And we might lose a few people. We might lose a few members. Heck, we might lose the whole church. But we're going to raise the standard. We're going to raise the standard. We're going to raise the standard. So we want our kids to be in a community worth being a part of, a goal worth pursuing. We want to give them a faith, the good news. We want to remind our kids that we can't work our way to heaven. We'll never be perfect enough. But if anyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And that is a faith, I pray. Ari. Kenzie. Arabella, Mateo, Zechariah, Uriah, these three ladies here, that's a faith I pray they desire to share. Amen. 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 Let's bow our heads this morning, church. Amen. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, I plead the blood of Jesus over my family right now. I plead the blood of Christ over my kids right now. I plead the blood of Jesus over my family right now in Jesus' name. I rarely do this, folks, on a Sunday morning like this, but I just feel a spiritual attack. There's some words that are being said against my family. I can sense it and feel it, and in Jesus' name, we send it back straight to where it came from right now. The curse is sent back, and I pray to God, Lord, you have mercy. Have mercy. Plead the blood of Jesus over our church in Jesus' name and over the families in our church in Jesus' name. The blood of Jesus sets me free. You're here this morning and you said, I don't know what in the world you just got done saying. That's not how I parent, and I'm not a parent. Like, okay, that's fine. You have your own opinion. We can still move forward, okay? I pray God speak to you. But there is one thing you do know. And that is, you're not right with Jesus. Jesus is not living in your heart. And as I preach in the sermon, some of you, when I was preaching, I don't know why, I could sense you were going back to your childhood. And you know what? You're still a child. You're God's child, and he loves you. He loves you so much. He wants to forgive you of your sins. He wants to forgive you. He wants you to come back home, spiritually speaking. You hear this morning, you say, Pastor Carlos, I'm not right with God. Jesus is not living in my heart. If I was to die today, I would not be in heaven. If we're honest with ourselves, or I would not make heaven my home. I don't know where I would go. That's a very scary answer. But this morning, by the grace of God, you can know. By accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, giving Him your heart, and surrendering your life to Him. So you're here this morning, no one's looking around, all heads bowed, all eyes closed. This is a time just between you and God. You say, Pastor, I want to receive Jesus as my Lord and Savior. No one's going to embarrass you. No one's going to bring you up. This is between you and God. No one's looking around. You say, I want to give Christ my life. Maybe you've given your Christ your life years ago, but time has gone by and things have happened. Life has happened. But you say, today I need to recommit. That's you. You raise your hand. You raise your hand this morning. Anybody at all? God sees that hand. Amen. On his hearts. God sees that hand. Hallelujah. God sees that hand. Amen. God sees that hand. Hallelujah. Honest hearts. Anyone else? I'm going to hold this out for just a little longer. Anyone else? God sees these hands. Amen. God sees these hands. You are my all and all.
Seeking you as a precious jewel, Lord, to give up, I'd be a fool.
You were my all in all. Jesus, Lamb of God, Jesus, the Lamb of God, worthy is your name.
Amen. Let's stand to our feet in this moment. Let's stand to our feet in this moment right now.
Taking my sin, my
cross, my shame, rising again, I bless your name.
This morning, you raised your hand, you want to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Now is the time to do that. Bow your heads with me and say, Dear Heavenly Father, I repent of my sin. I ask you to forgive me. Come into my heart. I surrender my life to you. And I do believe you died for me and you rose on the third day and you are coming back again. Help me to be that person you've created me to be. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, church, a community worth being a part of, a goal worth pursuing, and a faith they desire to share. Wow. I'm like way behind here. I apologize, church. I apologize. I honestly thought I had a lot more time, but it's okay. Actually, no, I don't apologize. I don't apologize. But I do want to say thank you to our volunteers and all those who are working in the background. I so appreciate their time. And so respectfully, let's go ahead and bow our heads. If you're visiting with us, we're so glad to have you. Home Life. What a blessing and an honor it's been to preach the Word of God. Just a reminder, membership class today. Okay? If you want to take that next step of faith, you want to kind of know what we're about as a church, you want to maybe one day we're going to have a vote and you want to be able to vote, or you just want to know who we are as a church, come to membership class after second service. There will be food. Can someone say amen? And so I want to encourage you. Also, the kids I know are trying to raise a little funds for their camps and Elevate. So all the proceeds, if you go to the cafe, we got some fine people over back there making some concoctions that will blow your mind. Amen? Because it's not just coffee. There's like the Holy Spirit, too. He's right there. It's just thrown in there. It's a beautiful thing. Let's bow our heads this morning. Heavenly Father, thank you for this beautiful day. Thank you for your mercy and grace, for your love, your compassion on us. And so, Father, I want to lift up my parents to you right now in Jesus' name. I want to lift up my grandparents to you, my kids to you, our families to you. And, Father, we pray that as spiritual impartation, what's been imparted to us this morning, that we, by your grace and mercy, will impart to others, that it would flow from us to our grandchildren, to the people we work with, to the kids we work with, to the families' lives we're involved in. The blood of Jesus over these last 8 weeks. Thank you. I can't wait for next Sunday. Today we were putting palms down many years ago. Father, I'm reminded when I asked Matt a little earlier, I said, Matt, should we show the video later? Because what if people miss the video Palm Sunday and then people are going to complain and say, we didn't do anything about Palm Sunday. We didn't recognize Palm Sunday. And Matt said, well, if they're late, they're late. I'm pretty sure there's a lot of people back in Jesus' day were late for his on a donkey. They weren't there. They were late. And so it is what it is. So, Father, we honor you. We praise you. But we also crucified you. So, Father, we're here, Father, to thank you for what you did ahead of time. In Jesus' mighty name we pray, and all God's children said, amen. 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 Be blessed, church. Thank you. Thank you. Amen.